Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich. If you've consulted a calendar lately, you know that it is technically spring. If you've consulted a window, you might beg to differ, but the temperatures in Wisconsin are trending upward, albeit slowly. And while it is still probably too early to get a full-fledged garden going in your yard or to move the containers permanently out to your patio, gardening contributor Melinda Meyer suggests we can start to make changes to help a sometimes underrated part of the garden equation, the critters that help pollinate. Melinda Myers is in the studio with us. Good morning. Welcome back to the show.
It's great to be here, and it's sort of feeling like spring out there if you don't look at the thermometer too closely.
But it is technically spring. So let's talk about something that I don't know that we've talked about before, the reasons to grow a pollinator garden. And so let's start with a definition. What do we mean when we talk about a pollinator garden?
You know, I think we often think of honeybees, but there are native bees that pollinate. Butterflies will spread pollen as they nectar on the plants. Even bats will pollinate some nighttime blooming plants. Not as much here as in other parts of the world. And there's beetles, and there are flies. So all those insects that you find in your garden are doing good things. Some are more efficient than others, but really when we talk pollinator garden, we're not just focusing on bees. We're focusing on all those organisms that help pollinate our plants so we get fertilization and we have food to eat, seeds to grow, flowers. Very important for our well-being as well as the environment.
Well, so wait a second. I mean, I think we all generally know that butterflies and bees do pollinating, but flies and beetles do this too?
You bet. They're not as good. They're more generalists. They kind of wander around as they are looking for things to eat, and they'll drag pollen from one flower to
another. So they're pollinating our ear when we fly, when they fly into it?
It feels like that some days, but on their way, you may have a little pollen in there, but just kidding. But on their way from one plant to the other or one location to the other, they often take along with them some of those goodies that help our plants.
So that's maybe not their primary motive for doing this, but right. It just happens to be they do it.
They pick it up as they go. So again, they're not the most efficient, but when they're out there visiting plants and doing things, they're taking along that pollen from one to the other.
Well, and so is the point that they don't have enough places to do this already, or there's something good about having all of this in one place?
That's a really good question. Some of it's the natural habitat is being destroyed, so there's less of it. A lot of it's not connected anymore, so it's not as efficient. So if you were a bee or a butterfly and you're looking for food, you have to go a few here, and then you have to travel a few blocks or miles to go somewhere else. So the idea is to not only increase the habitat, but you know, if you can work with your neighbors or make larger garden beds so that there's more food in one source, it's more efficient for them, too. They don't burn as much energy going from place to place, and they can accomplish more work as they do that.
All right, so let's talk about what makes for a good pollinator garden.
You know, it's just like us. They need food, shelter, a place to raise their young. So food, you know, plants. And a lot of our native plants are the most effective. When they've done research, our native plants really end up being more efficient at feeding and attracting pollinators. But a lot of our cultivated plants do as well. So you don't have to, if you're like, well, you know, I don't have room for natives or my neighbors won't, you know, let me plant those because it's a little too informal. Well, one is you can mix them in, and a lot of things you're gardening are probably already natives or cultivars of it. But I find a lot of our pollinators also attracted to our cultivated plants. So natives whenever possible. If you need to put some cultivated plants, I do because this is what I do for a living. I mix them together and it makes for a beautiful garden and also very effective for the pollinators. Water. You know, we think of bird baths for birds, but butterflies and bees, often after a rain, if you go by a gravel parking lot or a gravel driveway, you'll see them lapping up the salts off of the gravel. You can do that by just taking a bucket, drill some holes in the bottom, fill it with damp sand, and bury it, and keep it wet. And you'll find that the butterflies and the bees will come and lap. Add a little sea salt, maybe a tablespoon of that, or wood ash from some extra minerals. And it's not only good for their health, but it's fun because you get to watch them and get out the camera and take some pictures. Shelter. Ground bees, leave some of that leaf litter. Leave your perennial stand for winter. It's not because we're lazy. We're feeding the birds and a lot of our beneficial insects overwinter in that plant debris. A lot of our trees and shrubs are homes for bees and for our native bees and for some caterpillars that overwinter maybe in the bark of a tree. And so having various layers from the leaf litter on the ground to the trees in your landscape, you're providing a variety of habitat. And then things that are blooming from spring till frost. We like it. It adds beauty to our garden, but it also provides food for insects at different times of the season when different insects are out.
At the same time, the insects sometimes provide food for predators, birds in particular. Are there ways to set up these pollinator gardens so that they don't just become a buffet for the birds?
It's kind of one of those, nature takes care of it. So you are right. Most songbirds do feed on insects, bad ones as well as the good ones. And some of the good insects also feed on bad insects. So one of the things I find, if we let nature kind of take care of the problems, let the birds eat the bad insects, the predaceous insects eat the bad insects, that, yeah, we're going to lose a few of the good guys, but in the long run, we'll do less harm because pesticides hurt not only the insects we're trying to control, but a lot of them that we need to keep. So nature probably is much less destructive than what we are when we get out there with the chemicals.
Well, and so that also raises another good question. When we're talking about creating these pollinator gardens, do we run the risk of bringing in bugs that we don't want in close proximity to our houses?
You know, I think the only thing that some people get nervous are bees, you know, and I understand if you're allergic, you could really, that's a very scary thing. But bees really are very docile, and they only end up stinging us when they're provoked. They're trapped. We capture them. I garden all the time surrounded by bumblebees and hummingbees and native bees. Hummingbees. Honeybees. Oh, yeah. That's a new species. Honeybees.
I hear the hummingbirds like them
they
in particular.
Do. And so I really don't get stung. The only time German yellow jackets, they're vicious. They're not native, and they're looking for food in the fall. And the only other time is, you know, when I was trying to protect my daughter, who there was a German yellow jacket after her, and I took the sting for her. But that was mainly because of trapping them or interfering with their food. But the honey bees and the bumblebees, they're very docile. So if you just kind of move slowly through the garden, you're going to find that they really leave you alone.
And so are we at the point where we can actually put this stuff into the ground, or should we wait a little while?
You know, those few warm days get us all excited. We can't wait. The pansies are up. I have some cool wave pansies that made it through the winter again. Those are great for our early pollinators. The bulbs are starting to come up. Dormant plants, trees and shrubs and perennials that were field grown, those can start going in. The garden centers are a good clue. When they start bringing in the plants, it's usually when it's safe to plant. You know, the other thing is if you shop early, you can have great plants and then just protect them. You know, I usually start shopping early and I'll bring them in the garage, put them out, or cover them with floating row cover. It's still a little cold to get out there to plant things that have been growing in a greenhouse, so wait on those. But those cool season plants, especially those perennials that were dormant, trees and shrubs, get started. And the other thing is take the time now. Finish any cleanup you need to do. Pruning, it's a great time to get out there, is just before growth begins. Assess what you have and look for those opportunities for new plantings.
Melinda Myers, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mitch.
Melinda Myers is author of numerous books on gardening, including the Midwest Gardener's Handbook, host of a DVD series called How to Grow Anything, and an audio and video series called Melinda's Garden Moments. She is also our regular gardening contributor.